Okay, well, hey there, Hillary.
Hey, Jenny, how are you?
You know what? I'm doing okay.
Good.
Doing okay for this Sunday evening. How about yourself?
I am doing well, thank you.
Good.
We are recording on Sunday, March 10th. If you're listening, it is on or after March 13th. This is Season 6, Episode 11.
Welcome to Kissing, Loves, and Breaking Hearts with the Garden Tarts. I have been so thrilled that my social media feeds have been so full of YouTube content. It just has kept me in that little world. And then I went in like, I think it was the State of the Union that really fucked it up. I go in now and it's all like fucking political shit.
Yeah.
And it's, I gotta go reevaluate who I follow on certain things, because I'm like, no, I don't want to look at this MAGA shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I want more YouTube things.
I know, I've been holding on to that too, even the littlest stuff.
And then I've been like posting things. I talked about this last week too, to like, come on, people, talk to me. It works. Oh my God, this political season is just going to be the absolute worst. But let's not talk about that.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
So earlier today,
You need to register to vote.
Well, yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. If you have not checked on your registration, you should do it right now as you're listening to this. Just Google your state and how to check your voter registration status. You'll figure it out. Okay, but let's talk about you too.
Yeah.
So I was delighted today to be brought into a conversation. Scott from the band December, it's December's Twitter account, said, all I saw the notification was, it's actually a good question for Bono over whiskey and cake. The Garden Tarts might appreciate this topic. And I was like, ooh, what's it going to be? First of all, I love that people think about asking Bono questions over whiskey and cake.
I love it.
So I'm going to go through what this discussion was. But then I posed out into the social media world, what are questions that you might have for Bono over whiskey and cake that we can ask on tonight's recording? And then I did specify that Bono wasn't actually here. And someone gave me like sad face. But this is from, this started with Megan Click, who actually met out in Vegas. We ran into each other quickly. So, hi, Megan. She says, did you two spiritualize or even take the sex out of Octane Baby? I rewatched some of the show and it felt that way. Bono introduced Mysterious Ways almost as a worship song during some shows. For example, on October 25th, he said, it's Elvis's king we've come to serve. Snippets of My Sweet Lord have concluded it. Also, One is now a song about light in the darkness, and Love is Blindness has been universalized into being a song about cosmic betrayal and disconnection. I absolutely love the show, but it felt different to the 93 at U2, like 1993. Maybe they really were able to recapture innocence with wisdom. And then later she commented, Bono's vibe feels different now, softer somehow. And I just thought that was, it really made me step, huh?
Yeah.
Because Octane Baby is a very sex heavy album.
It is. But just like,
and spiritual and straight up God.
Yeah. But just like, you know, everything else, I think there's a way that sexuality ages.
Yeah.
Just like, and people.
Yeah, and that's my first thought was like, yeah, there was not a lot of overt or in your face sexuality in these shows, but it sure the fuck is implied.
Yeah.
And the fly spinning on that pole, And I don't mean that as like a stripper pole. I just mean like that he's not doing that just for fun.
No.
I feel like that's meant to be sexy.
Yeah.
And cool as fuck. But yeah, sexuality, whether it's intimacy related, religion related, I don't know that it finds its innocence, but it definitely matures.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what happened.
And evolves.
Yeah. Because they definitely weren't up there working hard to be not sexy.
No.
I mean, they're still rock stars trying to do their thing.
Right.
I'm sure Adam wasn't like, I better grow a mustache so I look less sexy.
Right.
But I wonder how, like what the specific question for Bono over whiskey and cake is. I mean, maybe it is. Her initial question was, did you two spiritualize or even take the sex out of Oxen Baby? I don't know what the wording of the actual question is for Bono. Maybe it's just that. It was definitely a religious experience. It was definitely meant to be a cathedral. It was definitely meant to be, I guess all you two shows are like that.
Yeah.
But the physicality of Sphere made it.
Like you were in the building.
More tangible. Yeah.
I think I said it in our episode after our first show, was that there was something about being in that building that just felt tangible, that it, like other shows are like in your head and then, you know, you in your heart and you leave and it's in your head and your heart. But this felt like there was something additional that you could take with you.
Right. Well, and I guess that's just the nature of the building itself.
And the visuals.
Yeah, because this show can't move town to town.
Yeah.
It only is this building. And you're not going to get that like in an arena.
Right.
Because you're well aware that they also play football and hockey there.
Right.
Football. Oh, they do play arena football. But basketball, I meant. Yeah. We do have arena football here. But I also like, she says, you know, Bono's vibe feels different now. Softer somehow. And I don't know if it was the nature of like them being Sphere, kind of like being quote unquote home. The comfortableness of it. But it's just like he didn't have to try.
Yeah.
So like he's always trying so hard. And I think he was just comfortable.
Yeah. It seemed like that.
Yeah. Hopefully he was also comfortable in himself. It's okay, Bono. People love you. You don't have to keep doing things. Okay. Well, anyway, so that spawned asking people what they want to ask Bon over whiskey and cake. So we got a few. 1, 2, 3. Oh, we got 4 more. Here's one from Kathy Hutchinson. Bono, if you're listening, you should be taking notes because there will be a quiz later. Kathy Hutchinson said, what I wish I asked him as he walked by me at the Zoo Station meet and greet. It's very exciting for you, Kathy, that you got to be in such his presence, is simply, now that it's all said and done, what will you cherish the most about the 40 Sphere shows? I know it's meaningful to me. Curious what he would say. I'd be curious.
It's a really good question.
Yeah. I would say for me, it was definitely, I want to phrase this, the sense of community there. Whether we were in the seats or on the floor, we felt close to the band. I felt in the music. We saw people we knew. We met new people. Like there was always something familiar.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, even, no, not like the first show. It had to be with the multiple shows. The first show, first time you're in a venue, it's always weird. Also, this is the first time, I've always said that U2 is my religion, you know, and the U2 concert is my church. But this is the first time where I actually said out loud, oh my God, I know why people go to church now.
Yeah.
It's more than just a saying in my head. I was like, this was like a literal church that I traveled to multiple times.
Yeah. I think my answer would just have to be being with my friends, and that's my actual friends and the band and the strangers and the songs.
Right? They're all our friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the community that involves the songs and involves the band. And
yeah.
I just felt close to everything and everyone every time.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. You're not going to get that like in a stadium No. or even an arena. You're not going to get that. Okay. That was a good one, Kathy. Yes, that was a good one, Kathy. What is next? Dana Starr, 78. This was actually over on Threads. I'm not sure. I'm sure she's on Twitter too. She said, I wanted to ask about his wardrobe. I want more color. I'm going to offer to take him to Old Navy. I love the purple blazer he wore on Colbert. I mean, he might as well go to Old Navy.
Right. That's just, I can't even touch that. It's just, he's just going to be that way.
He is.
I accepted it.
But that periodically when he does, even when he wears like that army green, it's just lovely.
Yeah.
Even just that white jacket, it's not black.
Right.
So yeah, my theory about his wardrobe is that whatever the quote is from someone that's, you know, like high level executives, super successful people do this, is that they have to make so many decisions in their day that in order to avoid decision fatigue, they make sure they don't have a decision first thing in the morning, and that's their clothes.
Yeah.
So they just have a closet full of the same things. Like, who does that? Like Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates. It's a bunch of men.
Yeah.
But that's my theory on why he does that on a regular basis.
It makes sense.
I think it makes great sense. If I could be happy with that, I would do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I do just decide between which leggings and which workout shirt. And that's pretty easy. But anytime I have to choose something that's not gym related, I like, it's like paralyzing.
Yeah.
Absolutely paralyzing. Okay, Dana Starr, gold one, good one.
That was a good one.
Okay.
Good work on taking him to Old Navy.
I know. Let us know. We'll come along. I've got a Gap card, so I'd really like to get those points. I'll help with the purchase. Okay, our friend Kat Louie says, I guess I would ask if the Sphere shows met or exceeded his expectations, and do they need to dream it all up again after the Sphere? Gosh, I would say think the expectations were pretty high.
Yeah.
So hopefully it at least met them. Yeah. I wonder, do you think they have to dream it all up again, or do you think they already know where they're going?
I think they already know where they're going. But I mean, I think that they just, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They always are dreaming it up all up yeah. again.
In this, when I was editing our last episode and I talked about how when 40 ended, it really just felt like the end of a chapter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this trilogy's done.
Right.
We presume, right? Songs of Innocence, Songs of Experience, and Songs of Surrender.
I don't care. Songs of Surrender.
But if it's going to be a trilogy.
Right. Then that should be the
end. Then there needs to be three.
Yeah.
Now, if they were to throw Songs of Ascent in there, that would fuck up the whole trilogy theory.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what we're going to get. I think it's going to be whatever their next artistic stages.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping Atomic City is a preview of that.
That would be very nice.
That direction. I want that, but like more. I decided I want an album that is, or at least a single or a song or two, that it's like if Mofo and the Blackout had a baby.
That would be amazing.
It might come out really fucked up.
Yeah.
I guess that's a question for me for Bono over Whiskey and Cake is, how do you describe a song? How do you describe that baby? If Mofo and the Blackout had a baby.
Yeah.
He'd know. Okay, Kat, thanks for that. We have one more. Okay, from Kevin B. I wondered how the incredible sound capabilities of Sphere changed his singing. If they can hear a whisper, a scream would blow everyone's eardrums out. He seemed to me to be singing in a more controlled way than belting it out. Was he singing differently than a normal tour?
That's a good question.
I would guess yes.
I would guess, yeah, as well. But he's been singing differently for the past few tours. Definitely I&E and E&I.
And then,
his voice has just been so much more refined and controlled and beautiful. Yeah,
and we really got to see that in action on the Book tour.
Yes.
The stories of surrender when he was, you know, by himself. And oh my God, the operatic ending. Like, so yeah, oh my gosh, when I'm listening to U2X Radio on Sirius, a live song comes on from like 87 or 89. I often turn that shit off. It is painful. You can tell if it's late in the night or late in the tour because his voice is just toast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's definitely done a lot of real training, a lot of work in learning how to make his voice more powerful.
Yeah.
And sometimes power means holding back. And it's just, as I am in my own vocal therapy, using your muscles correctly to your advantage.
Yeah. Well, I've been saying for years that one of my all-time favorite U2 songs is With or Without You, and I didn't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, there were many tours where I'm just like, I wish they wouldn't play it because he just butchers it so badly. But for in Vegas, it was so beautiful every time I heard it.
Well, and I think the one in Vegas, because I think it's the Songs of Surrender version.
Yeah.
But especially with the instruments, which I didn't. I'll have to go back and specifically listen to Songs of Surrender. But I heard, you know, when they play a Songs of Surrender song on the radio on U2X, they don't specify.
Yeah.
All they want is You's Been Coming On Like Crazy since before and after Vegas. I just assumed it was going to be the Rattle and Hum version. But I was like, wait, this is the Sphere version. I'm like, oh, no, wait.
Yeah.
This is the songs, must be Songs of Surrender. Yeah. But I would love to hear his answer to that.
Yeah.
Did he have to learn to sing a little differently in that space? I will say there were times when we were up in the seats that he was talking, I had a hard time hearing him.
Yeah.
Understanding him when he was talking. And I was like, this isn't how it's supposed to be. I did not have that trouble on the floor at all.
I think it was where we were because I didn't have a hard time hearing him when I was in the 100s or the 200s.
Yeah, we must have just been in a little
zone.
But it wasn't like all the time. It was just a few times.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sound is supposed to be the best.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Kevin. That was a smart question. They were all smart questions.
They were all great questions.
Y'all, we are always mostly remembering to ask Bono questions over Whiskey and Cake. You can send them in all the time. Well, almost guaranteed we'll read them.
Ask us questions, whatever.
You can ask us questions over Whiskey and Cake. Screwball and vending machine cake.
Damn it.
I never had vending machine cake. I saw some in the airport on my way home from my last trip, and I almost got it. And I was just to be like, I took it, I did it for the team.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't in the moment. I like didn't, wasn't in the mood. Like, I don't know. But another time, we will see vending machine cake again in our lives. Maybe? Well, I don't know.
Well,
is that just a Vegas thing? Vegas is weird. I guess it depends if they end up back there or not.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. Oh, Bono got an award. The book. The book got an award. Okay, Bono's audiobook Surrender is named Audiobook of the Year at the 2024 Audi Awards, which recognizes distinction in audiobooks and spoken word entertainment. This is Eric Alper said this. It runs 20 hours and 25 minutes and well worth your time. He's a fan too. But congratulations. And that reminds me that Scott Sherratt, I think is how you pronounce his name, who helped Bono create the audiobook. I'm not exactly sure what his position was. I'm looking at his. There's been a lot of nominations, and this is the first award it's won, which blows my mind. U2 Conference just did something with Scott. Oh, here it is. I found this from the U2 Conference. He was the producer of the book, of the audiobook. And he did a conversation with our friend Sherry Lawrence from U2 Conference for the conference. So if you go to like at U2 Conference on Twitter, you could look at their Discord. I'm sure you can go to their website, which is u2conference.com. There is a video interview with Sherry and Scott, which I still need to listen to. But exciting. I mean, he worked with Bono to create this beautiful, produce this beautiful book. So congrats to both of them.
Yes.
Both of them, for sure. I think that's it. I don't think there's any other big news.
Nothing that I can think of.
Okay, well, I guess that's it for tonight, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for those of you who sent stuff in. That was fun.
Thank you so much.
Keep talking about you two on social media so we all feel better.
Please.
We can all stay in that zone. And thanks for listening.
Tune in next week for... We have no idea.
It's mysterious, mysterious. Okay, well, good night.
Good night. We'll be back next week with more U2-ish content.
In the meantime, keep chatting with us on social media at the_GardenTarts.
Sign up for our newsletter at thegardentarts.com and share with your YouTube friends.
You can support us on Patreon, buy me a coffee, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Kissing Lips and Breaking Hearts, a U2-ish podcast with The Garden Tarts, is created, produced, and edited by us, The Garden Tarts.
Intro and outro music by December.
See you next week.